Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The Fix and Flip Guys at kclend.com.
My microphone's on now. Hooray! Here we go. On a Thursday before a holiday.
Are you blaming me for that?
Nah, someone back there. Fine. Yeah, you, Ryan.
This feels like a you
problem.
You're
the vet, dude. You got to teach the rookie. That's how this works.
Kramer's a rookie?
You're just out here like Brett Farving, like, what's the hell with this kid?
Kramer's going through a sophomore slump.
Take my job one day?
Also, now Kramer's Aaron Rodgers.
Kramer's got a sophomore slump going on.
All these analogies are not working to start the show.
There's too much going on here.
All right, let's pack it up.
Yeah, someone's like, yeah. See you, fellas. It's a Thursday before a holiday. Cody Tapp, Pete Sweeney in for Gold. Pete, how are you, buddy?
Good. Excited for Cody and Bold because we'll be bringing the Bold takes all morning and afternoon. How about that?
I like it. That sounds good.
Thank you.
Ryan just nodding his head.
He likes
approval.
It too.
Cody
too.
And Bold. 4 hours coming your way.
That's right.
No, it's I really do appreciate giving me time before the holiday weekend. You might want to be doing other stuff. You might want to be at the lake.
Right.
Or at a socially distanced barbecue.
Yeah. This,
or I don't know, sitting in our house like we've all been doing.
If there was ever a 4th of July to ask me to do this right before the weekend, it's this 4th of July where you almost feel like the safest thing is to go inside one of those bubbles and maybe bounce around and just see what's going on in your neighborhood. It's not a weekend when you would be going to the lake and being around a ton of people and celebrating and whatnot. It very, very weird time right now in the world.
I feel like, yeah, I did just be so like life-size hamster balls for me to like,
that is what I had in mind.
In? Yeah.
You ever see those videos where they're playing soccer or football and they're in these giant
yes.
bubbles? I don't know where they do that, but that looks like the most fun thing you could possibly do. So I wonder if that's the next pickleball that hits Kansas City.
The problem
you know, you
is
chicken
like,
and pickle. And
we need them to like sanitize them in between uses or own our own bubble balls.
Right. How much do you think a bubble ball costs?
I don't know, a few $100.
We're going to be addressing the tough questions, as you know, on this show today.
It's a holiday. They've mailed it in. Might as well do it. By the way, on eBay, I can get one for $181.
Not as bad as I thought it might be. I'd imagine that you
I'm
need,
not sure it's thick enough. I don't want to pop it.
I would imagine that you need some sort of air pump. It's not the type of thing where you're going to want to have to blow that thing up. That's going to take a lot of air, and you'll probably pass out.
Yeah, but the good news is that, you know, you get, like, people have tools for those things.
That's true. That's true. I'm just saying it might be one of those Amazon situations where it says this is frequently bought together. So you have the $180 bubble, but you also
and
have
like
the
a little tiny air compressor.
$95 for the air compressor, yeah. So it's a $250 to $300 adventure for
but
you.
If we all do it and then get to play some 3-on-3, you can't tell me that's not going to be fun.
Worth it. I'm in for $300.
I'm like, that's about where I draw the line. But yeah, I'm in.
Yes.
Like that's the number in which I'll do it.
Good to go. Good to go.
Well, we might have to spot Kramer some, but other than that, we'll be okay.
That would be a giant bubble with Kramer being, what are,
yes.
you, what are you, 6'7"?
I'm 6'3".
Six three.
Sort of.
That's feels more, taller when you haven't seen people in a while.
That's more than me.
Yeah, same.
More height
so
than
it turns
I.
out.
Yeah.
Coming up at 11 o'clock, David Leske of Baseball Prospectus will join us to talk about the Royals' upcoming season. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll be joined by Vahe Gregorian, a close personal friend of Pete Sweeney over at the Kansas City Star, talking about where sports are right now. Pete, I wanted to start with the news yesterday mm-hmm. of the preseason and where football is headed now. We knew, I think if you were listening to people in close football circles, you knew the preseason was never going to be 4 games. It was always going to be reduced. Yesterday, we got the official word that it's going to be 2 games. Each team will get 1 home, 1 away, because they're doing weeks 2 and 3, which means the Chiefs are going to be
right.
playing the Dallas game here, most likely. And in those circumstances, no one should be surprised by it. But the bigger question now is this even taking it far enough? I have been an advocate of getting rid of the entire preseason because of the giant risk it imposes for players as far as, like, we're trying to reduce by percentages, right? How often are you on the field by a percentage? Why are we even talking about preseason games?
As time goes on, you would think we're going to find out more and more about this virus and how it spreads. So I think the later that you can push this thing, if you're not impacting regular season games, that makes sense to me. I do want to talk about COVID for a second. through all of these months, it has been such a heel. It has ruined baseball season. It's ruined
the NCAA tournament.
The NCAA tournament, the NBA, soccer's been impacted. This was like a face turn yesterday. You're telling me we're going to get rid of two preseason games? This is like two decades in the making. You know how the preseason goes. You start the preseason and you say, oh my God.
Football.
Been so football starved. Where is it? And then the first quarter starts and you get about 5 minutes in and you say, this is not football. And then, okay, you finally get to the third game. So for a second, you have the starters out there, and you could see they're going through some real motions. Patrick Mahomes, the real players, but they're a little bit rusty. It's not the same as you would see in the regular season. You could tell that Andy Reid isn't necessarily using all of his stuff. It gets to be halftime, and you say, all right, now I'm ready for the regular season. By that Thursday night, week four, nobody cares. I would love to know the percentage of hardcore Chiefs fans that are even watching that game live when it goes off.
For my job, I watch football, and I'll be honest, I don't really watch that game.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter.
They only really, I think, need two, because you do, I think, need a game to get the rust off of the starters, and you do need some of those quarters where you can evaluate guys that are on the fringe of the 53, but you don't need four games. So if there's one small, tiny good thing that came from this, I think we're now entering a situation where they'll only be two for the rest of time. I don't think they're going to be going back ever to four.
And this is like the DH in baseball. You think they're going to go to two and just stay with it for eternity?
Because it's going to be so much smarter and so much more reasonable. And
less injury risk for players.
Right, and a 1,000,000%. And so, granted, it isn't the circumstances you want, but I was ready for two preseason games for a long time.
The question is whether or not it'll be less. Brandon McManus, who's the current kicker for the Broncos, his tweet, now there was multiple tweets, like Chase Daniels, like, that's only the beginning. We don't even know what football is going to look like. I'm like, very cryptic, Chase. Thank you. And then right. Brandon McManus of the Broncos said, be ready for one or zero. It won't be two. So, I mean, obviously people are suggesting that it could be less. And I think in a time like this, I don't think they're ever going to just completely eliminate the preseason.
Right.
In general. But I do think they will consider it for this year. And there's a lot of reasons why. And I think most of it is, while you want them to be in like game shape, and that's what the preseason offers you, you need more time on the front end to get through all the testing, all the positive tests, and all the conditioning you've been missing out on for months. You need those extra 4 weeks to just get players ready to play football, not getting game condition. I just think we're going to see sloppy football early, and I'm fine with that.
Well, you make a great point about being in what they call football shape. I've been covering the Chiefs now for a bunch of years, and all these guys talk about there's a difference between even the most hardcore of workouts and actually being
playing
in football shape. And we're going to talk more about different items involving Chris Jones because he's in the news this week, but I just look at him from a pure workout standpoint. He showed up late last year, and it took him a few of those regular season game weeks to get into what they call football shape and to be effective on a football. Now that is going to be a league-wide problem where guys maybe won't necessarily be in football shape when the beginning of the season starts. You talk about how...
And that's the most difficult part of the Chiefs' schedule?
Right. It's going to be a shortened baseball season. So what's going to happen there? How is the first 4 weeks of the NFL going to look? Is it going to be so sloppy in the sense that you really aren't going to be able to get a feel for teams until week eight? I know that once the season starts, we don't really have a great feel about everybody. There's always a surprise team that's surprised bad or surprised good. You may not get some of that clarity, I think, till maybe closer to the middle of the season this year.
No, there's a pretty good chance of it. Right. Just because of it's going to be a weird year. I don't know if it's a good, like, if I want to feel good that that's the most difficult part of the Chiefs schedule or feel bad that that's the most, because they would hypothetically also be sloppy. And if you're taking bad Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid football or bad Lamar Jackson, Harbaugh football, I'm like, I'll take the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, ugly football, because I feel like they're more likely to make that work.
Right.
But sloppy games means weird things happen, means maybe you go 2-2. And now that Patriots game, if Cam Newton starts and is healthy, maybe isn't as easy as you were thinking, as Jared said. Obviously, I still think they'll be the favorite. But no, maybe that game's not quite as easy as you thought, coupled with a couple of other difficult games.
Right, and there's this grand change that the NFL has where if they need to push games back, they can. When the schedule was released, we were going through all different possibilities as to what they could potentially do. There was this report that I think people are forgetting right now that's out there where they can take the first four games and slap them at the end. And so that buys you a month of time. And as you're looking and folks are reporting for baseball, you're starting to see some of the problems where maybe it won't work. And again, if you need to buy time, that's built in there. I think where you're not necessarily going to see games canceled. I know people are looking at like a 12 or 13 game season potentially for the NFL. I'm not necessarily worried about that, but I do think that this whole thing could get delayed by an entire month before you see regular season games where it's closer to October.
I still think they should just start it in a month. Like, start training camp today.
Right.
And then now that I...
J.C. Treader, the president of the NFL Players Association, would have a problem with that, by the way.
Yeah, he would. And now, look, that was my stance, 3 weeks ago when we weren't going through yet another spike? So maybe that's a bad take because we won't think... Maybe let it cool off a little bit before we start putting NFL teams back in Arizona where they're like, hey, college athletes, don't come back yet. We don't want you back yet. So maybe that's not as strong of a stance now, and I know they don't want to push the timeline up. But for me, from the early going, it was like pushing it back was our plan from the beginning of like, we'll just push it further back. We'll have more clarity. We'll have the answers. That hasn't worked. Baseball doesn't have more clarity now than if they had tried to start June 1st.
Right.
I'm not saying it would have been a good idea to start June 1st, but they have no more clarity now than 2 months ago, unfortunately.
But the thing is, and I think this is going to be important for MLB and NBA, and you saw it in some of the college sports that tried to start. I don't think in the NFL you want to have a false start, meaning try
start
to
start and then stop.
Right. Yeah. Because you want to plan for everything. If you have to start this thing and all of a sudden it just gets so out of control that I think his name is Dr. Sills, the head NFL medical trainer, has to say, we got to suspend everything like the NBA did. That's really hard to come back from. Then how long are you suspending anything? Is it just indefinitely?
Well, it's funny because the players keep quoting Fauci and the NFL owners keep talking about their expert, which means even they don't necessarily agree on health
protocols. A lot of expert on expert crime right now going on. Yeah. Well, that's the problem with experts because there can be two experts that disagree. So someone could say, hey, well, Fauci said this, and the NFL can say, well, we have a guy looking into this, and he thinks this.
Yeah, and that guy's paid by the NFL, so we're automatically more skeptical of him.
No doubt about it. It's why the NFL, over the past couple of years, has gone to third parties and different things, and that's something that the NFL Players Association pushed for in the CBA. But it's really muddled. It's really confusing. I tend to be on the side of, if you can buy yourself some time here to make sure that you don't have a false start, and listen, you're never going to be 100% sure of that, and I understand that, but if you can get close to that, somewhere in the range of maybe 80%, 90%, then I think you got to feel good about starting the season and starting training camp.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're right, Pete. I'm remaining optimistic because I've been doing sports radio 20 hours a week for the last 4 months.
This has been a great timeline for you. You got this show, and then they just stopped playing games. Are you the bad luck charm? Do you think?
Maybe. I mean, in fairness, though, the show started before they won the Super Bowl, so I am also a good luck charm.
Right. That's true.
Before I had a show, the Chiefs hadn't won a Super Bowl in 50 years. Now I have one, and they have one.
Right. And so, and they've won every Super Bowl since you've started the show.
Yes. So I'm good luck for the Chiefs. I am bad luck for every other sport.
Right.
Just literally
Salvatore
every other
Perez
sport.
Would like to have a word with you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of other people who take issue with me, but the Chiefs cannot be one, at least at this point. Including Chris Jones, who we talked about his contract situation yesterday, Pete, after he first took to Twitter to suggest the possibility of sitting out, referencing his pal, old Le'Veon Bell. I know we'll get into some of the particulars with it and where they go from now, but I thought of, you know, like at least giving people the choice because there are a few avenues the Chiefs can go now. We would agree, right, with Chris Jones?
Right.
And a few different avenues Chris Jones can take. So, comic book style, I know that you, you like, I don't know if you're into comics like Serta is. This might be better for him.
This is a Serta. I mean,
but there were. This is a Serta special.
This is perfect for Mr. Steve. Yes.
There were comic books as kids that essentially allowed you to go through the story your way. So I'm curious. Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line 913-576-7610. A little choose your own adventure, if you will.
This is great.
Right. The sound, right? I mean, it doesn't complete it unless I give you options.
This is. I know this is. It's stock sound, but it is bringing me back to my days of like Game Boy.
Yes.
What was that music that they would play on Game Boy? It was this.
This is exactly this track. Some guy with a synthesizer, a few hours of time.
Beautiful.
Can create beauty like this. So I'll give you four choices to choose your own adventure. Let me know which one you want to choose at 913-576-7610. I'll take yours as well, obviously, Pete. Option one, franchise tag him. Have him play for 1 year, then let him walk. Option two, trade him for a player now. Let's say, you know, Jamal Adams. Or you can, you know, a pick and sign Jadeveon Clowney. I don't really care which way you do it. But a different player comes in place of Chris Jones for a similar amount of money, and you have the option to get a pick now and let Chris Jones be off the roster for this season. Option three, franchise tag him this year, then franchise tag him next year, and either hope to convince him to play under the $19 million tag, which I don't think he will, or attempt to trade him the following offseason. Or finally, you can just rescind his tag and let him sign wherever he may go. Now, I'm going to personally suggest you not take option four in this choose your own adventure.
You can't get a pick back
anymore.
But
some people, I know, you pass the comp period. Some people are anarchists, Pete, and will choose that option anyway.
Cancer, locker room cancer.
Because he asked for money, like Frank Clark did in the team he was at before he was in Kansas City. Just as a reference for the people who try to like blame that. Which adventure you choose? This music is perfect, by the way.
Yeah, it's a really complicated situation. I've seen those takes out there from fans who are like, I make 60, 70,000 a year, less than that 40. He should be happy with 16 million. I think he's just thinking in the long term. He's a football player. He has a lot of money to lose. And I think
the only big contract he gets.
Only big contract he gets. And you look at COVID, especially nowadays. What if he contracts the virus and his body has changed forever and he maybe can't play to the level he has? Or if there's an injury playing on the tag? Granted, I think ultimately he'll sign the tag. Maybe he won't play 16 games, but he'll play a certain amount of games. But I don't know if you can necessarily blame the guy for wanting what he feels and has a decent case for what he's worth based upon other contracts in the league.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I don't even want to pick because I just want to keep this music flowing. But I think I'll pick what I think is the most likely scenario. I think he's upset. We saw that the other night on Twitter. So I think he'll eventually sign this franchise tag. I wonder if he gets into Melvin Gordon territory where he misses a handful of regular season games. He has until week 10 to show up by NFL rules, but I think he eventually plays some games this season, hopefully as a part of another Chiefs run to the Super Bowl and their hashtag run it back tour. I think
the risk there always is that they find out they can play without you, and that's what happened with Melvin Gordon.
Exactly. And that is a possibility. Let's not necessarily rule that out. I'm just telling you what I think is the most likely scenario and will make everyone happy. I think they try to tag him next year and then try to move that for compensation. And then Jones, for what it's worth, has all the motivation in the world to try to just make this another contract year and make the best of it because he just doesn't have a lot of leverage. He's going to have to just play by the rules, unfortunately for him. And just make it the hardest possible case for another team to like not want to pay him.
Their issue is that they can have him for $18 million a year for the next 2 years or pay him the $21 million a year he wants now.
Right.
Comes kind of difficult for the Chiefs to justify paying him an extra $6 million when they don't have to.
The root of the problem here with Jones is that also during a pandemic, they're working on the richest contract in NFL history and have to think about that money. If this was a scenario where Alex Smith was still here, maybe he is signed long term. But you have that question mark when it comes to the salary cap, and you can't sacrifice the rest of the team. Maybe you can for a quarterback because we know how much that matters. But
you already have one defensive lineman who has a $100 million deal.
You can't do it for a defensive tackle in Steve Spagnuolo's scheme. I was talking with Kent Swanson, who does great work for us at arrowheadpride.com yesterday, and basically he laid it out. He said, listen, Spags enjoys a really bigger bodied defensive tackle. That's not someone they're going to put necessarily value when it comes to compensation behind, and Jones just finds himself in this impossible situation.
All right, let's choose your own adventure. By the way, a lot of people going with option three. They like the idea of just tagging him and then trying to tag him and move on for a pick for next year, which is obviously one of the suggestions you would go with. You know, I mean, I think in the best case scenario, maybe that is it. And that's probably what happens here, Pete, is if they go through four games and Taco Charlton looks really good in the middle, they've only made the argument for...
I've heard some things about Taco. Taco is in a situation where you're never going to be more motivated than this. This is your last chance, right, to really, I think, make a mark with a club. You are yourself in a contract year. You got your buddy Frank Clark complete behind you. Frank Clark was on a Twitter pause. He was taking a mental health break from social media, which I wish I could take. Good for Frank Clark to be able
might
to do
it the next 5 days when I actually get off the show,
in the offseason. But he paused his social media break during the offseason to come on, post a picture of him and Taco, the Supreme Taco, from his Twitter account, which I love.
That's a fantastic.
Him and the Supreme Taco, and he said, I'm going to make this guy a legend. And so there's never going to be any more motivation for Taco to turn around his career. So, you know, maybe that's a possibility. I'm not going to bet on it, but it's last chance dance for Mr. Charlton.
They got to do something. Some players have to be cheap somewhere. I'm just not sure whether or not it's going to be Chris Jones. We'll keep taking your answers for that. The Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line 913-576-7610. Pete, yesterday, or 2 days ago? 2 days ago, I sat through an hour-long call about how the media stuff's going to work for baseball. And I was curious just to know what you thought football was going to look like as well, because it does give us some insight for what we think fan stuff will look like for those players going forward. Because even in just this session, where they limit us to 35 people, we're required to wear masks from the second we get inside the stadium until the second we leave the stadium. These are some of the things I think I would anticipate for football and baseball if you're actually going to go there. And I think that people should probably anticipate those things. I just feel like it's going to change the way we, like, people don't really care how we cover the sport.
No.
But as far as you get the information, it's going to feel different, because we're going to be limited by the people we can talk to, by the people we can get a hold of. And that's a lot harder if you can't physically go talk to them.
And that's outright shunned. I mean, it is shunned at this point in, I think, the history of sports, not just with the Chiefs and the Royals or MLS. Right now, where we're at is every team has a PR team. Usually it's made up of, what, four to more individuals.
Just getting bigger.
Rather than reaching out directly to a player, they would prefer that you go through the medium. And that is tough to
that doesn't always honor your request, or very rarely does, or how
it's tough.
Not it just depends on the team.
It's tough to swallow, because that's not necessarily how you form good relationships and get, not even necessarily scoops, but better stories. Like, I think in both baseball and football, based upon what will be the media guidelines, stories are going to be a little bit weaker this year.
I agree.
You're not going to be able necessarily to have those relationships, to have those candid comments. I can't walk up to Chiefs player X and say, hey, man, my recorder isn't on. I was just wondering if you could help me understand what happened in the game here. And it's just a relationship building
point. Baseball was great for that.
And you're not going to use it, but it just makes your understanding of the game deeper. It makes these shows better. So I think from a story standpoint, from an angle standpoint, from a quality standpoint, that is certainly going to be a little bit weaker. What makes me fear, what is making me fear for the future, is I think there is an unfortunate scenario that could happen where, I'm just going to use myself for an example. I'm not picking on the Chiefs, but they may say something to the extent of, we're only going to do Zoom calls this year, right?
And then it lasts.
And they may
the
do
following.
That at the Royals. Yeah. And then they say, you know what? This no clubhouse thing for the Royals was great. Well, you know why? We had a great year when it comes to the stories we wanted getting out. Or the Chiefs may say, man, it was better not having anyone in the locker room. It's good to sort of control the message. We didn't see any dip in profit numbers or anything like that. What is the motivation to continue?
What does it give us?
Going in that direction. And this was a problem before the coronavirus, where you're starting to see team sites. I've been on both sides of this, where you're starting to see team sites get opportunities that other media outlets can't get. And really, the problem with that is you are sometimes able to get good stories, and they do great work at Chiefs.com and Royals.com. But it's those seasons that get off the rails a little bit, you know.
That need those stories.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the 2015 was great and everything like that, but sometimes there's going to be problems and you want to be able to write those and get information and sort of. And so I worry about the very dangerous precedent it's going to set in sport media for just straight up honesty. And that's not picking on Kansas City. That's just across the board of all sports.
I already feel like they were going that way anyway. So much more larger in-house media teams is meant to, we can tell the stories like you said we want to tell. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, it's me and Pete Sweeney. We'll talk a little bit about how one group of investors is trying to force some change, why that much might catch up with Kansas City. Plus, I don't understand why Cam Newton is called too immature for Belichick. We'll do that next year on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back in here on Cody and Bold, as Pete Sweeney put it.
That's right.
Since he's with me here for 3.5 more hours before the holiday weekend.
Only bold takes today.
You should have told him to just rescind Chris Jones' franchise tag. Somebody actually had that take in real life. Don't have that take. Nobody wants that take. That's a terrible take.
You could see why that small percentage of fans may feel that way, because I think the Chiefs at the end of last year, they just finished with so much good energy.
I know.
And even though it's certainly reasonable for Chris Jones to feel this way, I certainly see that side. That is really the only source right now you feel, besides coronavirus, of negative energy. Like, that's the one negative. You would
everything else is hashtag run it back, Pete.
You'd rather Pat Mahomes
whole gang's together
had his contract already. There's sure. No doubt about that. That's something I think that's on the mind of every single Chiefs fan every single day. It's like that meme online with the couple sitting in bed and the wife's all worried, or you know, whoever is all worried, and they're actually thinking about Patrick Mahomes' contract. I think that's always going to be on Chiefs fans' minds. But this idea of tapping into your spirit animal, and it's Le'Veon Bell, that is not the right spirit animal to be tapping into. And Bell ended up with a worse team and a worse deal, frankly. So
he got more guaranteed money, but it was definitely a worse deal.
And he had to sit out a year of
guaranteed money he would have made, yes.
So just easy. Look, the reason I think Chris Jones tweeted that so angrily, not to throw back to our last topic, but part of the reason was just how Mike Garofalo worded it. It was just so matter of fact. And think about watching that of yourself, where like
the Chiefs
Jones
have
thinks,
never done it.
Jones thinks he's worth $20 million. The Chiefs, frankly, never did. And that's the guy who is on the field during the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, riling up the crowd, getting so hyped up, he's throwing up, loves Kansas City, has a lot of the support of the fans because of the way he interacts with them and so on and so forth. And he watches that and says, man, what do I have to do? So he was upset.
Which was his exact exasperation about 3 weeks or a week after the Super Bowl when he was on with Colin Cowherd. And his one response was, you know, and everything else was happy and talking about the Super Bowl. And the one thing was, I just don't know what they want me to do.
Right.
Like, which is a feeling I think a lot of people have had in a job situation where they didn't get the job they thought they should get. They didn't get the promotion. They didn't get the raise. They applied for a job they didn't get. And they're like, what more am I supposed to be able to do than what I'm doing for you right now? I've had that feeling in life. That's a difficult place to be in. I'm very understanding of that.
Yeah, I think there are certainly some parallels between radio and media business and the NFL. Of course, that's at the grandest scale. But it is, when it comes down to it, just a business. And I think it's sometimes hard to separate that. I truly feel, I can't speak for Chris Jones, but I truly feel that he's in a place right now where he's hurt. He's a little bit hurt. And I think he saw the Chiefs go out and get two players last year who weren't with the organization.
Paid them near the top of their position.
Hadn't proven themselves in that fashion yet. And they put their confidence in strangers when the guy that's been in-house and working his way up and had 15.5 sacks 2 years ago, Still waiting. So you can understand why I think all of this is bubbled up.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by it one bit. Not even a little, Kramer. Not even a little. There's other things bubbling up at the surface of the NFL as we sit right now, Pete. Yesterday, as Kramer had put in his update to start the show, a little bit of pressure being put on one of the NFL teams. 87 investment firms have now asked large-scale corporate partners to boycott the Washington Redskins, unless they are willing to change their name. Many of us have raised this issue with Nike for years to little avail. The letter sent to NFL officials, apparel provider, but in light of the Black Lives Matter movement that has focused the world's attention on centuries of systemic racism, we are witnessing a fresh outpouring of opposition to the team name. Therefore, it's time for Nike to meet the magnitude of the moment, to make the opposition to the racist team name and clear, and to take tangible and meaningful steps to exert pressure on the team to cease using it. They have been adamantly against it. Snyder's been adamantly against changing their name. And I know in Kansas City, people fear that if, you know, you come after the name in Washington, how long is it before someone tries to come after the name of, say, the Chiefs?
Right.
And again, those are these are not on the same level, because one was definitively set up as a racial slur and the other is not. And so, but, you know, some of the imaging that the Chiefs had used in prior, you know, in prior seasons that they've now gotten rid of and have listened to some of those things and got rid of.
You mean the headdressed Indian
on
the horse?
Yeah, and asking people. Yes. Right. Yeah. They got rid of some of those things. Like, they listened years ago. Redskins have done none of it. They're just dead set on doing it. They force their own hand almost by not making any other changes. Like, they just today, or like, I don't know, a week ago, got rid of the guy from their Ring of Honor who only put a black player on his team because he was forced to.
Right.
So they got problems. But honestly, it is time. It's like, I think it was Tony Dungy who came yesterday. He's like, it's not that hard. Just sell some more jerseys of the Washington whatever you are. So I don't care.
Right.
I mean, it probably is time for them to do it.
There's two parts of this that you mentioned. I think there is the Washington part and there is the Kansas City part. Like, what will it mean for the Chiefs? Because the Chiefs have already come under some fire for their team name and it being Chiefs. And the easy answer, I know there's a lot of Chiefs fans out there that are probably saying, oh, it was named after the mayor.
We know.
I know. But that doesn't take away from the fact that
Arrowhead Stadium and they use the imaging and
I mean, for years, the headdressed fans, and we had mentioned the mascot that was embraced. So it's a little bit dicey in the defense, and we'll get there. First of all, though, with Washington, this to me right now, this feels like a complete no-brainer. What is the point anymore? What are the positives?
What are you holding on to?
If I'm Dan Snyder and you went into one of these boardrooms and you put up what a lot of people like to do, they say when you're introspective, you should do this. Pros and cons. What are the pros? Name the pros. Because the cons right now is just, it almost feels like a scroll. All right, here are the cons. And there it is. There's all the cons to having this name. And you mentioned it. So
pros list, Dan Snyder's like, I like it.
Right. And okay. It's history. Well, is your history that good? Hey, hint, it isn't. You would actually.
Like, even just as a team, you mean, like success wise.
And I'm just saying, as you had just mentioned, with the owner who had some really racist tendencies, what tradition are you upholding at this point? You may as well take what I would look at as this grand opportunity to start over. You change your team name, that's like a damn rebirth. That is a rebirth. Let's say, because I've seen it thrown out over the years, you go into the Washington Warriors, right? I've seen that. That's a name that's accepted in the NBA. You're good. Don't have to think about it ever again. And in a sense, it's similar to like that fighter, but you'd have to be creative.
Sure.
Whatever. So you're the Washington Warriors right now. You have a new quarterback in Haskins. You're turning the page. You're starting over. You got a new head coach. New head coach.
Yep.
In Ron Rivera. New traditions. You are changing your ways as an organization, and this is the grand way to do it, and you nailed it on the head, on a year that's going to be down for the NFL, where the owners are no doubt going to lose some type of money from this year. We know that the salary cap is probably going down. You'll have all of these new jerseys and merchandise, and people, if they're true Washington fans, are going to want to have the updated look. And you create an entirely new business and market for yourself and merchandise if you embrace it the right way, you explain why.
And there's going to be people who are willing to buy it outside of your market just because you were willing to change it.
Now,
like for the people you lose who are the diehards who are sad you changed it, you will get people on the outside of that market who will purchase this just because you are willing to.
Now, I wouldn't recommend the Rams agency to come in and redesign your logos. I think, and it's
probably not.
It sounds trivial. But I think nailing what would be the new logo, the look,
the color, all that.
I know it's trivial compared to why you're doing it, but that will be key in the olds accepting, okay, this is actually.
Because you can pay homage to, you can keep the same color scheme if you want.
Right.
You can still be maroon and gold. And are they call it yellow? What do they call her? Like anytime you like say red and gold for Chiefs, somebody's like, or red and yellow. Like, no, it's
the Chiefs actually had a show called Red and Gold. It is a heavily debated topic, gold versus yellow.
I know.
Among Chiefs fans.
So I didn't want to like get into some Redskins fan and be like, it's not gold. It's like, sorry. It's red and something in the right. yellow family.
Anyway.
And it's maroon. It's not even like a regular red, so I got to get into that.
Take the opportunity right now to restart and in a lot of ways and make yourself a successful franchise and come to this year, 2020, embrace it because it's not going anywhere. It really feels like...
You're the target now.
This is a lot of steam. Now, there is the second half to it, and you're right. Say Washington finally does embrace, which who knows if it's going to happen. I think it's more possible now than ever. The Chiefs, when it comes to the NFL, will be the next team that people point to.
Next all pro sports, they might go after the Cleveland Indians first.
Right.
But as far as NFL goes, yeah.
I don't know if it'll ever be as emphatic as Washington.
It won't be.
Because of what
the difference between Chief and Redskin is significant.
What the name means.
Yes. And that's not to be ignored. Ron Rivera actually was asked about it, Pete, and had this to say about whether or not it's time now to change it.
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, you know, that was always part of football, the name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show because, or another time with the moment? Because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing. But you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era. That when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me, too, is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. You know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics, you know, while I was coaching. And I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And, again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
And that's the difficulty. There are people who still want the division between those things, but those lines are real blurred right now. Especially now, during all this, during the Black Lives Matter movement and COVID. And, I mean, the lines are more blurred between sports and that than ever before.
Yeah, no disrespect to Ron Rivera, but that sounds like a head coach that just was hired to a 5-year lucrative contract by an owner who feels passionately about not changing the name.
The only way he's ever going to change it is the NFL makes him.
There's a lot of people with strong beliefs listening. If someone offered you what Ron Rivera is about to make to coach the Washington Redskins, I'd imagine maybe your mood on it would be a little bit different. I don't want to lump everybody into that, but...
And you don't even want to believe it about yourself sometimes, right. But if they threw $60 million in front of you, Pete...
It's
you might be saying the same thing, like, or quiet. You're like, God, I wish they just changed it so I didn't have to deal with this.
Exactly.
But then publicly, you're like, it's not the time. I don't want to get in it. Yeah, maybe there's problems. I don't know.
What's tough about it, it sometimes it feels like when you have a contract, there are necessary evils that you just swallow. What's tough about it is if Ron Rivera, I don't want to say this falls on his back, but if he would have had the courage to say, I wish the name would be different.
He could actually change it.
He could change it.
Yeah.
I really think so because they sought after him to change the franchise. They're not, I don't think, at least in my opinion, from the outsider looking in from Kansas City to Washington, D.C., I don't think they're budging from Ron Rivera. They're not going to not go with Ron Rivera because of a team name. So if he would have in that interview said, yeah, it really isn't up to me, but I think we should change the name. I think maybe that leads to change. But again, I'm not saying that necessarily.
It's not an easy thing to do.
It's not his burden.
No. It's been long since. It's Snyder's burden. That's who it inevitably needs to fall on. 913-576-7610 is the number. Don't forget to take us on the road with you on the free radio.com app. You can listen to us on your smart speakers. Say, hey, Google, or hey, Alexa, play 610 Sports Radio. Let's lighten the mood a little bit, Pete, maybe. Let's get to Trash of the Day.
Trash of the Day.
All right, Pete. COVID times. Maybe a July 4th concert was in your future. Maybe not for most people, but how about one you could catch this 4th of July weekend in Austin, Texas, where Vanilla Ice is still set to have his concert at the Emerald Point Bar and Grill, located on the shores of Lake Travis. Technically a restaurant, large capacity, but he's saying he can't wait to get back to it. Still planning on holding his concert this weekend. Concert is selling 2,500 tickets. That's roughly half the venue's potential capacity. Tickets range from $25 for general admission or $300 for VIP seating, which is sold out, apparently, on that end. Could you imagine, like, if I'm going to risk catching it, it is not going to be for a Vanilla Ice concert.
Did I ever tell you?
That's not it.
Cody, did I ever tell you how I take, like, glasses of water with ice, baby?
Boo.
What?
That was terrible.
He booed you.
That was terrible.
You can't. What?
He's going to boo you.
No,
for
it's
that.
Just how I take my water.
With
yeah.
With some ice, baby. I got you.
No, yeah. Tall.
I just, like, to me, it's like the full around. Like, what happens if you got it and then got sick and then died? And then what? Like, it's that giant poster board of you that says, remembering Steve. And they play Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go while they take your casket down?
Yeah, it's like...
Was it worth it?
It's like your grandfather. Yeah, my grandfather survived World War II. He made it through so many different... It was unbelievable.
What a life.
He is one of my inspirations. Well, how did he pass away? Well, he had to see Vanilla Ice in 2020 during coronavirus, and that was it. Croaked over.
Like, there's some things to risk it for. This ain't it.
At first, I thought you were going to say to me on TV, and I was thinking, those concerts are terrible anyways.
No, this is a live concert you can attend, Kramer. You can drive down to Austin tonight.
You know what? I might do that. I mean, this weekend might be great time for it.
If you do, wear a mask. That's my personal shit.
If coronavirus should cancel anything, it should be this. Like, this almost should have been canceled if there was no coronavirus. Why is Vanilla Ice still...
Like, I get no baseball, but I still have to get Vanilla Ice concerts in 2020. It's taking the wrong things down.
Now you're picking up what I'm putting down.
He must be hurting for some cash right now.
Right.
That's the only reason why he's doing this.
Right.
And he's got to be worth like $1 million or something, right?
Vanilla Ice probably more than that. Don't look it up.
Like a
Don't
TV
look it
show?
Up because Net? It's going to make you... It's just going to make you mad.
Is it?
It's the type of guy where you find out what he's worth and it makes you mad.
It's so much more than $1 million.
Yes, what is it?
12.
Yep.
$12 million, Kramer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's about $11,999,000 more than you'd hope that he'd be worth.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah. I just don't do it, please. If you're thinking you were going to do something this weekend for the 4th of July, we can have a conversation. Please do not make it the Vanilla Ice concert in Austin, Texas.
Or do, and send us pictures.
Please.
Make sure you're in a mask.
Never seen a Vanilla Ice concert, so I guess there's a first time for everything. That, at least on that end.
Hard for me to weigh in on this. I don't know a ton of what's going to happen down there. It's going to be something to behold.
I'll give you something to weigh in on instead, Pete. Yesterday, we had started to have the conversations, or 2 days ago, about Cam Newton signing with the Patriots, and, you know, we had the conversations about how much more of a threat it makes him to Kansas City, and I think most of us realize that even if it does make them better, it doesn't make them a significant threat to Kansas City, just because it's still Baltimore and Kansas City gap, and then the rest of the teams that we could be competing for that. But the spot I'm confused about is recently this trend of other sports radio hosts at national levels or local levels, or just people in general seeming to think that this match won't work because Cam is immature. And what I want to take this moment is to remind people is, one, that's a misconception. That, like, his attitude is somehow bothersome to you is ridiculous.
Right.
And you might want to look at why you think those things. But also, Bill Belichick is immature. He does nothing but be a baby at these things all the time. He once answered 13 consecutive questions with, "We're on to Washington." You can't tell me that type of attitude. He just wants things his way. He's the toddler who wants to play with the toy and not share it. Cam never struck me that way.
And he has shticks. Like, he knows what he's doing when he says snap face. Or,
of course
he knows what he's doing when he mumbles so you can't really hear what he's saying. And if he didn't, then you'd be like, well, why don't you, Bill Belichick? People are making a big deal out of it. He does it on purpose. He knows exactly what he's doing. And yes, I agree with you. Completely. I don't know why the radio host would necessarily feel that way. That's something I do like a lot about Andy Reid in Kansas City. Every player says the same thing when it comes to celebration. Now, you don't want to get penalties. Reid will admit that.
Sure.
But It's a phrase I'm sure you've heard before. Let your personality show. He likes these guys to be able to do within the rules what they want as far as celebrations. That's why you saw earlier in this year, in his career, Travis Kelce would have different dances and whatnot.
And then they finally let teammates celebrate again together.
The sack race and the, yeah. If it's within the rules, Andy Reid doesn't care because he realizes these guys are 20-somethings, early 30-somethings, and they want to have their fun. And by the way, not that it's necessarily the same as dancing and dabbing, but for years, Rob Gronkowski made a marketing ploy almost out of the Gronk spike. And not, again, it's not dancing.
And nobody said a single thing about it.
It was this really monstrous showboating thing where he would wind up and sometimes in the face of defenders and just spike the you-know-what out of the ball. No one really had a problem about that, so please, save it. Save it for me.
As a reminder, like, people get mad that, like, he does the Superman thing because maybe he's not quite the player he was before. He once drug a team to a 15-1 record whose leading receiver was Jericho Kotchery.
Mm.
That's the actual stat. I'm not even making up that name. That was their actual leading receiver from that year. Jericho Kotchery.
Yeah.
He was Superman during that time. And those things shouldn't bother you. Like, I get it. Like, people get frustrated sometimes when people celebrate, like, a sack when they're down 22. But you're like,
right.
This is their whole game. Like, they have to get sacks. And it's supposed to be fun. So even if they're down 22, don't you want them having some fun? Like, it can't always be, I'm angry at the world every time you're on a football field.
The sentiment from New England reminds me a little bit of the don't pimp your home run movement in baseball, where it's starting to I think, evolve a little bit when in the MLB.
Oh, God, I hope they get rid of all that nonsense, too.
But more fun is going to mean more casual viewers, which is ultimately what the NFL wants. So I think in the grand scheme of things, Bill Belichick and Andy Reid, aside from winning, for example, they care about the league. And if they care about the league, celebrations are a really fun part about it. So just enough.
It's also how you identify players. You know how, like, baseball is a problem with not knowing who they are because nobody has a like, the best thing you did in baseball for all those years was you used to stand up there and mimic Sheffield Swing. I don't know who you grew up cheering for.
When I grew up, I was a Yankees
fan.
Okay,
Yankees. So Sheffield
Jeter
was a good example.
Jeter was what we did in New York, where you're shaking the bat over your head. Yeah.
But if they had a cool home run bat flip they did every time, you would have emulated that to your grave as a kid. Like, it just, like, it doesn't, like, all of that. Like, they need some of
that. How many of all of us did the Sammy Sosa?
Oh, yeah.
If you are a baseball fan out there.
I couldn't. I was a lefty.
Yeah, you did it, Kramer. Don't lie to the people.
You just did the lefty version.
You did the lefty version.
It doesn't work that way.
Yes, it does. So you, of course, if you were a baseball fan, you can't tell me that you have not at least once
turned your hat backwards and swung like Griffey.
Did the Sammy Sosa, though. I'm talking about the hop.
Yeah.
Hop, hop, hop. And then you trot. Come
on. Of course. So that's what they need.
Everyone's
they need
that.
More personality in these sports. And that's why I never understand when, you know, people go on the record for doing that. When we come back here on Cody and Gold, we'll talk to David Leskey over at Baseball Prospectus. The Royals reported yesterday are supposed to start practice tomorrow. We'll find out what exactly that means for Kansas City and what our expectations should be going into those workouts and the rest of the season. We'll do it next year on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.